Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Bedenick.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the days of our lives.
It is Friday, the 17th of November, 2017, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We're broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios, underlooking the agora of the palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksan, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, we have a couple of singer-songwriters in the studio. Chris Kelly and Nicole Gibson will be by later to talk about their music. We'll have a chat with director Caitlin Williams about Pacific Theatre's next play, Almost Maine. Playwright Brian Hinson will be on the line to tell us about his new work, Fertile Ground. And filmmaker Brianne Nord-Stewart has a web series set for release next week, and she'll be here to talk about the dangers of online dating, plus our usual call board and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. And while I'm getting Brian on the phone, let's hear some music. Toronto's Winona Wild is about to start her North American tour. She'll be in Vancouver next week. She's playing the Wise Hall. That's behind the Couch on Adnack Street. She'll be playing that Thursday night, the 23rd. This is the title track from her latest CD. It's called Wasted Time. It's here somewhere, I know it. There we go. Let's start it again. Just like that.
I've been down. Sweet love to come around. I've been broken and blue over you, hoping you would want me to, praying for another lover to light me up like you do. I've been free. My sore heart aching, my mind tangled up for days. In these I've done my time, walking your line, waiting on this heart of mine to move on to another and ease my aching mind. Oh, wasted time. I've been blind. Oh, Lord knows I've been blind. I've been walking this short road together with sore hearts and aching minds. I've had my fill of liquor and pills, wondering if you want me still, praying for something to ease me. Nothing ever will. Oh, wasted time, wasted time.
So once again, that's Winona Wild, and she's going to be at the Wise Hall on Thursday night. So right now on the phone, I have a friend of the show, actor and playwright Brian Hinson. Hello, Brian.
Hello there.
So I didn't know you were a playwright until I found out that you are having a, you've got a new play.
Yes, I do. It's called Fertile Ground, mm-hmm. and Fighting Chance Productions offered to host a reading of it.
That's really nice of them.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I'm very thankful to them for that, and to Ryan Mooney in particular.
Mm-hmm.
We will do this Monday night at Studio 1398 on Granville Island,
right.
which is right next to the Waterfront Theater. It's on the top floor of a little office building there.
Yeah.
And
well, tell us a little bit about the play itself. What's the story and what got you thinking about it?
Okay. Well, first I'll talk about the play itself.
Yeah.
It deals with the drive to procreate, and it does that through these three women, all in their 40s, each of whom is in a different sort of state of desperation, either to have a child, to deal with believing she will never have a child, or in keeping a child that she didn't expect to have but whose life is now threatened.
Mm-hmm.
It does this in three different acts, three different places. She encounters two men in each one, a man also in his 40s and another man in his 20s. There's three actors playing the three roles in each act, so they each play three roles altogether.
Yeah.
And for the reading, we have a fourth reading, the stage directions. If your listeners don't know, a reading is just that, of course, where the play is read from scripts that the actors are holding.
Mm-hmm.
And there's minimal movement, minimal tech.
It's kind of like a radio play, in a sense.
Well, in essence, but it is live, and because it's theater, the point of it is to hear it with an audience.
Mm-hmm.
How does it work when people are actually listening to it in a theater space?
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, that's what it's intended for, and you don't really know until you have that experience.
Well, as a writer, it's got to be really valuable for you to actually hear the words being spoken out loud and also to catch the audience reaction.
It absolutely is. Yeah. And with this play, this isn't the first time I've done these readings. I did a few in Las Vegas, of all places,
mm-hmm.
because that's where my husband and I lived before we moved here.
Yeah.
And they all went very well. So I've been working on it both during that time and since. But I wanted to see how it would play in Vancouver. And I'm very excited to hear it because I have a fantastic cast.
Yes.
And Vancouver seems to me to be very open to new things, you know, new ideas, new structures, that kind of thing. But the structure of the play, although I thought might have been a challenge to people before, it never was. So I'm, again, hopeful that it will play as well here as it did before.
Mm-hmm. Is it something that having it read rather than being performed, is that going to be an obstacle for the audience? Will they be able to follow what's going on?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
In fact, I have to tell you, it seemed to work so well in that format when I had the readings before. I almost thought about just staging it that way.
Yeah.
You know, having someone continue to read stage directions, describe the set, almost like the stage manager in our town, you know,
mm-hmm.
I ultimately, that's not what I want. I would really love to have a full-out production of it. But no, at least in the experience I've had, it's not difficult for an audience to follow it at all.
Yeah, we just had the Arts Club doing their React series, which is the same sort of thing. It's new plays doing readings rather than performance, and it was really well attended and really well received. And once you start letting your mind and your imagination take on what's being told to you, you kind of forget about. You don't even see the scripts anymore. You don't even realize that the actors aren't in costume or there's no set. You get so involved in the story. So it's always a really interesting experience.
Yes, I think it can be in some ways even more exciting than a full out one because your imagination is so engaged.
Mm-hmm.
As you follow along.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd heard about that other reading series. I wasn't able to go. I'm in a show myself right now, so I'm kind of.
Well, tell us about that. What show are you in right now?
It's called Taken at Midnight, and it's at United Players.
Yeah.
It's a drama about Hans Litten, who was a prosecuting attorney in Germany in 1930. He actually put Hitler on the stand when the Nazis were a party, but they weren't in power yet.
Right.
And this was when he was prosecuting four of his SA men for murder. And he got them convicted, and he made a fool of Hitler in the process, although some people think that, ironically, it actually helped catapult him then into becoming the leader later on.
That sounds a little familiar.
And years later then, when the Nazis were in power, they took him literally from his bath many years later, as well as a lot of other political prisoners. So the play goes back and forth between his experience in prison or concentration camps and his mother's attempt to get him freed. And his mother's really the lead in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, played by Suzanne Ristic. And to get him free, she meets with me. I'm playing an officer of the Gestapo.
Right.
It's been very well received. We've been pretty full since about last Sunday.
Right. And that's at the Jericho Arts Center?
It is.
How much longer does that run?
The rest of this week, tonight, tomorrow night, Sunday matinee, and then again next week, Thursday through Saturday evening, and a Sunday matinee as well.
Yeah, so you're pretty busy.
So through the 26th. Yeah, it's been kind of busy. Yeah. You know, but I want to make absolutely certain that I don't forget to mention my cast by name because
please.
I'm so thrilled to have them.
Yeah.
Morgan Brayton will be playing the woman, or the three women. Matt Resnick and Haig Sutherland are the other two men, and Justin Anthony is helping me out with those stage directions. And it's interesting you're talking about that particular aspect of, you know, not seeing the scripts, not even, you hear the stage manager reading things, but you don't, after a while, it's not a distraction. And I'm so thrilled to have Justin doing this because what I found helps is when it's not done robotically, you know, it's not just, and then he did such and such, and then there's this, and then there's, you know, it's read in a way that's complementing the action at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. You're that person is actually the storyteller.
Yeah,
you know, and if you take that on, it makes it a lot easier to do and to experience as well.
Yes, it becomes another character, really, and it I think it's far more engaging that way than for the audience to hear it.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Did you have another question?
No. You sound like you have one more thing to say.
Well, when you first started talking, you said to address what. Maybe
why?
Prompted the
why you wrote it? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Well, years ago, I had a friend who was in her 40s who wanted very badly to have a child. We'd been very good friends when we were in like junior high and high school.
Yeah.
We kind of went to different cities as adults, so we weren't in touch for a long time. But then I lived in LA for a while, and that's where she was. And we got back in touch, and she kind of commandeered me to help her out with this pursuit, you know, of having a child. But it left me in a real quandary because I was so concerned about, it felt to me like the chances of it working were going to be so slim that she would be really facing some serious heartache as well as major debt for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Other issues as well that really compounded the sort of emotional desire to help her. She just assumed that I was on board with the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be. And that was the dilemma, is that who am I to say whether any of this should matter at all? You know, if she wants to have a child, that's each individual's right and pursuit. And you know, but when you wait until you're 44 to try it, you know, there's going to need to be additional issues that, you know, have to be dealt with. And she did.
Yeah.
But so that's what prompted the whole idea to start with, because I needed a way to try to reconcile those two things I was feeling between wanting to help, wanting to be the best friend I could be, but also grappling with how I was, my own concerns.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to be honest to yourself as well.
Yeah. I will say that in the long run, she had twins.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So it worked, but it took her a very long time.
Well, I'm really looking forward to getting a chance to see this. So we'll just repeat. It's called Fertile Ground, and it's going to be at Studio 1398 on Granville Island, 1398 Cartwright Street, as you said, right next to the Waterfront Theater. Monday night at 7:30. And does it cost anything to attend?
No, it doesn't. If people can, we prefer they RSVP by emailing tickets at fightingchanceproductions.ca. Mm-hmm. That would just help us keep track of how many we've got coming.
Yeah, exactly.
But if someone forgets or can't do that for some reason, please come anyway.
Great. Well, thanks for taking a few minutes to tell us about this, Brian, and best of luck, and I hope it goes well.
Well, thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Great. Talk to you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
There we go. So, while we were talking to Brian, Chris and Nicole showed up. they're not quite ready to talk yet, but I just thought I'd let you know. We got one of their songs here, so we'll hear that first, and then in a moment we'll be back with Chris Kelly. And what's your last name, Nicole?
Gibson.
There we go.
Rolling down the street, all I hear is my heartbeat, this music in my ear. Is the only reason I am here than you. You can't stop me now. People wave as I go by. To all my friends I left behind, I'm sorry I had to say goodbye. But you can't stop me.
Can you hear?
There they are, Chris and Nicole, and they're here. Hi.
How's Hello.
It I kept on wanting to call you Chris and Kelly.
Chris and Kelly.
Because it's Chris Kelly and Nicole Gibson.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the studio.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about you guys first. You're originally from Montreal?
Yeah, so Chris is like born and raised in Montreal, mm-hmm. and I moved there 3 years ago. From Vancouver. Vancouver.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, welcome back.
Thank you. A nice welcoming back.
Yeah.
But so I moved to Montreal basically to kind of just explore music there and see kind of what was happening in Montreal.
Yeah.
What
were you doing before you left Vancouver?
Before I left Vancouver, I was going to school here. I was also playing in another band, mm-hmm. and we all kind of decided to go separate ways.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's go to Montreal.
Let's go across country.
So you went with somebody?
No, I went alone.
Good for you.
I went alone. It was pretty crazy. Like the first night being there, I was like, oh my God, I'm in Montreal.
And you were already there. So were you born and raised in Montreal?
I was actually born in Toronto, mm-hmm. but I was raised in Montreal for a long time. Yeah. So I have my band there. I actually have a few bands there.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we met.
That's how we met.
Actually, at a show. We were playing. Our two bands were playing together.
Yeah,
and that's how we met.
Yeah, we met at the merch table, and we kind of just like hit it off right away. And it was one of those situations where, you know, when you kind of meet someone and you're like, something's gonna happen here. Like you just feel like there's like something there. So. We started hanging out, and a year later, it was a while later, we always wanted to do something together, but finally a year later, we're like, oh, let's write a song.
Yeah, just for fun.
Yeah.
See what happens.
And so we ended up writing this song. It was called Ghost of You. It's part of our EP that we're releasing the final track of in the next few weeks, our Out of the Dark EP. So we wrote this song called Ghost of You, and we just posted a SoundCloud link online, and it got like the best response we've ever had any music we've ever done. And it was such like a casual like, oh, let's do this for fun and just post it.
Yeah.
And we ended up releasing it, and people loved it. So we were kind of like, oh, there's something here we should explore. And
so we did.
Yeah.
There you go.
Explore. Yeah. But weirdly, we didn't actually end up recording all the rest of the songs until a couple months later, until we sat down and we're like, let's do this. Like, let's go full with this. And that's kind of where the inspiration of Out of the Dark came from. Because Out of the Dark, it was really us coming out and being like, this is our music. This is what we're doing. And this is like kind of the story of that, this EP.
Mm-hmm.
So then we recorded Out of the Dark. And we're going to release our next single. It's called Dream Out Loud, because we just released Can't Stop Me Now.
Yeah.
In the next few weeks, and then that one's finished, and we're going to move on to the next chapter.
Yeah,
which is
I love the production values on Can't Stop Me Now. I always love when you start with something and then it just builds and builds and builds, and the strings are in there and the drums and the whole works. Is this the kind of production stuff you like to do, or?
I mean, I like trying stuff.
Yeah.
Honestly, like we've been trying a lot of stuff to see like where we want to go exactly with our sound.
Yeah.
And this is a song that has a lot of energy. It's something we really like. Some we have slower songs like ballads. This one has a little faster upbeat, you know, fun song, I guess. And it has a good message. It's about chasing your dreams and really, you know, going for it, which we did. Like this song came out right after we moved across the country, right? From Montreal to Vancouver, left a lot of stuff behind, family, friends. I mean, it was a big decision, but the song really explains, you know, it's like you can't stop.
How long have you guys been back in Vancouver?
I think just over a month.
Yeah. Oh, really?
A month and a half.
You just showed up.
Yeah.
Wow. Just showed up.
Freshly here. Well, I mean, I've lived here.
Yeah.
Really new. I've never been. I mean, I've been here once last year, but before that, I never been.
Do you have a place to live?
Oh, yeah.
We're actually lucky.
It was actually really easy. We have a house. We have jobs. We have we're fine. You know.
Yeah, everything's going good so far.
Did you get enough to eat?
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, God.
Great. So, let's talk about the music itself. Like, what are kind of some of the influences, and what is it that you think you're doing and you're saying with what you're playing?
I mean, I think the one thing that really speaks to us as people and as artists is really just the path of kind of like chasing your dreams and following what you love. Because I think it's very interesting, that whole concept. And I think today it's very interesting too, because it's such a different world for musicians. It's not really like you have to be discovered. It's kind of like you work with everyone in your musical community and you all kind of raise up together.
Yeah.
I think that's, and so I think it's so interesting. And we have so many friends who are artists and musicians. So we're surrounded by these stories all the time. And
everybody has a different story. You know, there's not a way to do it. It's just you have to find your way to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, you keep, you, you know, you keep doing what you love and be authentic and just see what happens.
And that's really like a main thing for us, and that always comes up when we're writing songs, is it's something we feel all the time and we're talking to people about all the time. So like Can't Stop Me Now was written when we literally the week after we decided to move to Vancouver, and then we released it the second week we got here, we filmed the video and everything.
All right, we're going. Can't stop me now.
Yeah, exactly. And it was so all filmed on Bowen Island, too. So.
Yeah, in B.C.
Nice.
B.C.,
yeah.
Yeah, so that's
a beautiful place.
Beautiful place, absolutely.
That's where I'm from. Yeah. But that's the main thing that kind of keeps coming out in our messages and our music, and I think that's the main inspiration. And we all record.
For now, anyways, I guess. I mean, it might change in the future.
Course.
You know, you have different things happen. But
yeah, but that's what it is for now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Are you guys playing any gigs or doing anything performance-wise?
Right now, no.
Nothing
well,
yet.
Well, no. Last week we started jamming kind of in a band format because we practice a lot as a duo. We're probably going to start doing some acoustic things, and in the spring we're going to kind of do our full launch as a band and then kind of just start touring around BC and doing that sort of stuff. So right now it's a lot of being on our computers and emailing and planning and like figuring routes out and stuff, and also a lot of writing because we're going to start releasing our next EP next in the new year, which is exciting.
Yes.
Great. Yeah. All right. Well, keep us in touch.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let us know when you're playing anywhere. We'll definitely definitely plug that.
For sure.
I'd love to have you guys come back sometime with your instruments and,
and
do some playing. That'd be cool too.
I just want to say one thing, actually.
Yeah.
Somebody left a note on our truck while we were gone for like 5 minutes. It says, "Hope you have a good day, whoever that is." Thank you. I will have a good day
too.
That's magic. Look at that.
I'm not sure if that's what people do here in UBC.
A nice thing. You're welcome.
But it was an interesting thing to.
Yeah.
So thank you.
So thank you to that person.
Whoever, if you're listening.
That was wonderful. Well, even if you're not listening.
Yeah, there you go.
You who are listening, take it as advice anyway.
Oh, yeah, we did.
Yeah, something to do. Random acts of kindness. That was really cool. Yeah. Well, just for that reason alone, I'm glad you guys came out.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So where can we find you online? You've got...
You can find us at www.kellyandgibson.com. We do a lot on YouTube. We're on Facebook, Instagram. It's all pretty much Kelly and Gibson. So.
Right.
Yeah. If you go on KellyandGibson.com, everything's there.
Everything's linked.
Okay.
So that's our website.
So that's the official name of the duo, Kelly and Gibson.
I guess so.
Because Kelly and Nicole Gibson, but we short Kelly and Gibson.
Yeah.
it's a long name, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll keep an eye out for you. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
We're going to play that other song we've got from you, Battleborn.
Oh, cool.
What kind of a peace do I mean, and what kind of a peace do we seek? Enforced on the world by American weapons of war. I'm talking about genuine peace, the kind that enables men and nations to grow and to hope. Not merely peace for Americans, but peace for all men and women.
Brother, why do you point the gun at me? You've been swallowed by the flood. We're now enemies. Well, sister, you said you would always care. We're flesh and blood. What happened to the bond we share?
So don't wake me up until the hate is gone. I'm giving up. It all feels so wrong.
So if we fight, how will we survive? We got this love. Let's make a right.
That was nice. Nice couple of folks. Let's see what else is going on here. You're listening to Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio, CITR 101.9 FM. Your go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music. I always like talking about these folks because they were one of the first guests we had in our new studio, and they've got quite an inspiring story. It's Janet and Jenny, Janet Walmsley and Jenny Story, and they are a mother and daughter team of authors, and we've talked about their books before. Jenny was diagnosed with a severe form of autism when she was a child, and her mother was given a really dark prognosis about how she would be unresponsive and unable to function in a normal society, and just, you know, sort of doom and gloom. And Janet said, no, that's not going to happen to my daughter. And the result was that Jenny has become an author in her own right, and she's graduated from the Vancouver Film School animation program. She's got a novel published, and she's got some animation projects coming along as well. And Janet has wrote a book about her experience raising this autistic author and animator, and that's the title of her book, The Autistic Author and Animator. And you can meet Janet and Jenny both. They're going to be doing a book signing next week, Saturday, November 25th, at Indigo at 810 Granville Street at Granville and Georgia. So, or is it Robson? Granville and Robson. Anyway, Indigo Books, book signing, meet and greet, Janet and Jenny, next Saturday, November 25th, and that's happening from 1 o'clock till 10 p.m., so like a whole day you can go down and hang out with those two guys. Let's see, what else is going on? Tuesday night is Shindig. We haven't been talking about Shindig on the show here. I've been kind of remiss, but it is going full bore. It's CITR's annual Battle of the Bands that happens at the Hastings Mill Brewing Company, formerly known as Pat's Pub and Brew House. And I got a few things to say about that, too, because, you know, Hastings Mill was the name of that area before before the city of Vancouver. There was an actual sawmill at the foot of Dunleavy Street called the Hastings Mill. And the Hastings Mill store was the only building that survived the Great Fire of 1886. And it's now a museum in Point Grey. But that's another story. But Hastings Mill Brewing Company is alive and well, living at Hastings and Dunleavy in the downtown east side. And for only $5, you can go and enjoy Shindig on Tuesday nights. And this particular Tuesday, the 21st of November, is our annual alumni night. So if you're like me and you've been on CITR in the past and you want to hang out with the gang and see what's going on, you can do that on Tuesday night. Okay, now, we're going to do, we've got another interview coming up. This is Caitlin Williams. Caitlin Williams is a local actor, producer, director, and all that other good stuff. And this is actually her first shot at directing. She is directing a play that opens at Pacific Theater next Friday. It's called Almost Maine by John Cariani. And she very graciously sat down to talk to us about that.
We're actually rolling.
Already.
We can start talking.
Okay, so. Good. Oh, you're so sneaky. Hi.
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 So you're directing Almost Maine.
Almost Maine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I was intrigued because one of the pull quotes in the PR stuff said it's Thornton Wilder meets the Twilight Zone.
Really?
Yeah. So you get this idea that it's like this nice, quiet little town where weird things happen.
Yeah, magic things happen.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Magic, that's bad.
Yeah, yeah. I guess there's a few weird things, but it's mostly people kind of falling in love.
Mm-hmm.
Having connections with each other, like love at first sight kind of. So that is weird, I suppose. It's like Our World.
Yeah.
But slightly off. So I guess Twilight Zone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Slightly off.
I hadn't thought of it that way. Well, things happen, like magic things happen.
Yeah.
So people are falling in or out of love. A scene where a couple is breaking up or they're not connecting, obviously. Mm-hmm. She's looking for her shoe the whole scene.
Yeah.
And finally when they realize what's actually happening, a shoe drops out of the sky. Oh. So the shoe drops. So, yeah. You know, the playwright's name is John Cariani, and he takes this sort of magic realism idea of some of our notions about love and falling in love, mm-hmm. and kind of plays with them in that way. Yeah. So yeah, so slightly off, like shoes don't literally fall out of the sky in our life, but the shoe certainly drops.
Yes.
Especially in relationships sometimes. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's like lots of little metaphors.
Lots of little metaphors. Yeah.
And is it done like as a series of small stories?
Yeah.
Or is there an underlying thread to it?
There are 10 short scenes. Mm-hmm. So you meet 19 different characters. We have 5 actors playing them all.
Yeah.
And the thread is connections and love and relationships. Yeah. And they do reference other characters in mm-hmm. other scenes. So you have the idea of it being a community, a small town.
Right.
But otherwise, no, each scene is kind of standalone.
And does the title have significance aside from the fact that that's the name of the town?
Yeah, it's the name. So Almost is the name of the town.
Yeah.
And it's a fictional town in Maine. John, the playwright, is from Maine, and mm-hmm. so he kind of, I think, extrapolated out of his own small town that he grew up in.
Yeah.
But yeah, significance in that they are, I just keep thinking about how all these characters are grasping for each other, and mm-hmm. sometimes they don't quite get it, or they almost get it, or they sometimes fall for each other in spite of what they say or what happens. So. Yeah. Yeah, almost has many meanings.
I knew a guy who wrote a song about the Fraser Canyon called Beyond Hope.
There you go. Exactly. Well, actually, one of our scenes is called The Story of Hope.
Uh-huh.
And it's about a woman named Hope who goes back to speak to her her kind of college sweetheart, and it's too late. And she doesn't even recognize him because he has lost so much hope. That's that metaphor, so... The hope is in ours as well.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit about the cast.
We have the best cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's 5 of them. Peter Carlone is a local comedian and actor. Giovanni Mosabob, another great actor in town who's worked a lot at Pacific Theater before, so people will recognize him.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Larson, she graduated from Studio 58 a few years ago. Beautiful actor, and was also on stage here a few seasons ago. And then Kiki Romani, who is making her... Well, no, actually, she was in a show here a couple years ago, but had a smaller part, so this will definitely be a sort of debut in some sense for her here at PT. And then Jalen Sipe, who is one of the apprentices at Pacific Theater this season, really gifted, beautiful actor and singer as well. So we're going to have some singing infused in the show, too.
Nice. Yeah. And speaking of debut, this is your first time directing.
Yeah.
So how's that been?
It's been really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been really good. I think I might like this directing thing. Yeah, I think I might.
Had you done anything before, like assisting?
Or? Yeah, I have done some assisting, and I did direct a staged reading here a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Ron Reed, who's the artistic director of Pacific Theater, has been a long time supporter and mentor of mine. I'm so lucky to have him in my corner, and he has for many years now kind of been encouraging me down this path. He thinks I'm a director. Yeah. I guess this will be
every once in a while. Have you ever thought about
exactly
directing?
And so with kind of his encouragement, I said yes to this project, and I think, you know, I have acted quite a bit, and I've also done a fair amount of costume design, and I just want to be in the room.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to be in the room. I just want to make these plays and make the stories any way I can. And the thing that directing has allowed me so far is what I love. I can set the temperature for the room, like how I want to work, and it can be the kind of room I want to work in, full of joy and collaboration and laughter, and we've been doing a lot of that so far. That's been good. And when you're an actor, you are in service of someone else's vision.
Yeah.
And now on the directing side, I get to sort of dream up the vision, and lucky to have really great collaborators come on board with my vision. So it's good.
Yeah. And, but also at the same time, be able to articulate your vision.
Yeah,
so
that's part of it.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a lot about communicating, obviously.
Yeah.
Something I dreamed up in my head, then I have to get that into words.
Yeah, just let this pass. Life on 12th Avenue.
Right? Theater on 12th Avenue.
Yeah.
You can hear it in there always. So yeah, I have to communicate what I want and then make that make sense in words and then see what my designer hears and then they bring me something. And, it's
and they've got their own ideas.
They do.
Being able to work that all together too is sort of, you know, that can be a challenge as well.
That's a challenge, but I also think that's why I love theater so much because it involves people. You know, you can't do it alone in a room a room by yourself. It's an art form that requires communication, requires collaboration, requires community, and that's why I like it doing it.
Yeah.
Almost Maine is going to be opening next week. It opens on Friday, November 24th at Pacific Theater, which is at the corner of 12th Avenue and Hemlock Street in Fairview. And if you want more information, you can go to pacifictheater.something. just type in, you know, Pacific Theater in the Google there. Other things going on this weekend that we want to let you know about. This is important. Our dear friend Jacques Lalonde has a nephew with a very serious form of muscular dystrophy. His name is Bowden, and Bowden is very lucky that he has someone in his family who is looking out for him and helping him out. Bowden needs a lot of support for hospital care, for medication, but also just for daily living stuff. Like, he's limited in what he can do and how he can move and stuff like that. But he does love stuff like playing video games and things like that. So, helping him out with nutrition, with healthcare, and with a few games and that. Some fundraising events are going on, and they're just fun to be there. So the next one is Sunday afternoon at 3:30 at the Anza Club, which is at 8th and Ontario. It's called Bands for Bowden, and it's a charity dance hosted by Ardent Tribe. And there will be other performers, including David Simon and the comedy stylings of the aforementioned Jacques Lalonde as Donald Trump, Jean Chrétien, Christopher Walken, and all kinds of others. Tickets are only $10. They will accept whatever donations you want to drop by. There's a link which we put on the Dave Radio Facebook page, and you can register and RSVP. So you want to do that. That's Sunday afternoon at the Anza Club. And one more thing, Thursday night, November 23rd, there is a great event called the End of the World Cabaret. And this is it was originally part of like the Beatnik Halloween thing. And I hit the link for it and I got something else. So I have to tell you what, let's take a break. Let's get our poop together. And I'll tell you more about the End of the World Cabaret in a minute.
Sometimes it feels like the only thing you can count on in life is the fact that Mint Records will always have a Christmas party and always have it ridiculously early. This year, join Woolworm, Needles and Pins, Jay Arner, Supermoon, Kellerisa, and Dumb at the Astoria on December 2nd for music, presents, and Christmas fun.
UBC Theatre and Film presents a world premiere shining with love and possibility. Wives and Daughters by Jacqueline Firkins, based on Elizabeth Gaskell's Victorian serial novel, is a charming romp of love convoluted by hidden desires and expectations.
I like to be liked, but when people carry their affection too far, they become troublesome.
Cynthia's a sweet girl and charming, but she was always in some spot of trouble. She wasn't mischievous exactly, but mischief seemed to follow her.
Join us from November 9th to 25th at the Frederick Wood Theater.
After a certain age, a daughter becomes inconvenient.
So we must stop being inconvenient daughters and become inconvenient wives?
Theaterfilm.ubc.ca.
Okay, I found it. Trump, climate change, snow in Vancouver. Did you ever feel like maybe the world is ending? Well, let's go out with a bang. For only $10, your eyes and ears will be treated to a variety of entertainment. Stand-up. Laughs provided by Sarah Stupar, Maddie Vu, Ashkon Mohammadi, Fatima Dore, Susan Thompson. Musical comedy, the stylings of Seth Gordon Little, the zany stylings of Seth Gordon Little. There's spoken word, real talk by the Mixolo's Mitch Tape. There's sketch comedy with brunch comedy. There's a short film. There's also burlesque titillation by Jackie O'Nitro and B. Appletini and much, much more. Don't forget, late night eats. It's Thursday night, the end of the world cabaret, and it's happening at Lanaloo's in Japantown on Powell Street. Thursday night starting at 8:30, goes till 11. Doors. Anyway, it's $10 to get in. You don't want to miss it. The end of the world cabaret. And the phone is ringing. Let's see who it is. Hi, is that Brianne?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Brianne. You're perfect timing. Oh, man. We were supposed to talk to you like a half an hour ago, and I got I got overcome with other guests and stuff, and so I'm really glad you called back. On the phone is Brianne Nord-Stewart, who is the producer and director and brains behind a new online web series called The Dangers of Online Dating. Hi, Brianne.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, no worries.
All right. So tell us a little bit about The Dangers of Online Dating.
Well, as you said, it's a comedy web series about a sexual health nurse with a fear of casual sex consequences who decides it's time to get back in the game by dating online.
Uh-huh. And is that really successful for her?
Well, that wouldn't be a good show if it was.
No, it looks really good. I caught one of the episodes this morning because it has a friend of mine in it, Sebastian Kroon.
Oh, yeah.
But it looks really good. I mean, it's quite funny. And your lead is amazing. Paula, where did you find her?
She was recommended to me for a music video like a year before we started doing The Dangers of Online Dating. And then, I was basically writing it with her in mind.
Yeah.
And then we also became friends.
Yeah. That's how it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. And go ahead.
No, that's it. That's the only thing.
Yeah, but you've been working on this. This has been going on for a while. Like, I think it looked like the episode I saw was done about 4 years ago.
Yeah, we shot it 5 years ago.
Oh.
And then when I shot 4 episodes just like on my own, everybody volunteering.
Yeah.
I wanted to make something, you know, I wanted to keep directing, keep writing, making something. I thought it would be a funny idea. And because I met Paula went to Studio 58, which is how I met Seabass and a number of the cast members of season one.
Yeah.
And then I started showing it to people and people got really excited and they said, don't put it online.
Yeah.
It's really good. You should pitch it for television. So then I started doing that and then doing other things. And then eventually I just thought, okay, nobody's ever seen this. It's time to put it online. And I had just done a series with TELUS last year called Young and Reckless, which they had financed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were aware of the dangers of online dating and they asked me to submit it. And so we got to make a new season.
Wonderful. So you've got 2 seasons under your belt now.
Yes.
And we get to see it.
We
get to see it next week.
Yes. Yeah. Are you coming?
I hope so. Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You're going to be, so everybody that comes to the launch party on the 23rd gets to see all 9 episodes. So season 1 and season 2. And then we'll be releasing them 1 episode per week for the public.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about Thursday night then. It's going to be the Penthouse on Seymour Street, which is a perfect location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very excited to be there.
Mm-hmm.
Their GM is just like the most wonderful human being.
Wonderful.
He might even be baking us some custom cakes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, then I'm definitely coming.
Yeah. Got to get your eat on.
Yeah. And it's admission by donation, so you know,
$5 or $10
or something in the box.
Yeah, so if you, there are tickets online. So on our Facebook page, there's like an event page for the launch, and you can buy them online or you can buy them in cash at the door.
Okay.
And you can either pick how much you want to donate, or we do have an easy $7 option there, but it's really up to the individual. All the proceeds are going to Options for Sexual Health and Reproduction, which is a nonprofit BC-based healthcare center.
Yeah, so put more in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Give us more than we're suggesting. I mean, exactly. whatever people we
well,
want.
Of course.
To come. We want
of course, but it's going to a good cause is all I mean. And
it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. So okay, so you're having a launch party on Thursday night, and then how will people be able to catch it online? Is it through your website? Or?
Yeah. So it'll be on YouTube.
Yeah.
Which is YouTube.com/ Dude the Series, DOOD the Series.
Mm-hmm.
That's the same handle for all of our channels.
Right.
And then once all of season one is up online, it will also be on Telus's video on demand service.
Oh, great.
And then once all of season two is online, then season two will also be on their video on demand service for
there you go.
Customers.
And people told you not to do it this way.
Well, yeah, the thinking is that either you put it online and it gets super successful and then you get on TV, or if it's not successful, then nobody's interested in your idea and you're kind of something that people don't want to touch.
Yeah.
That was, you know, 5 years ago. And I think the mentality has changed a bit. I mean, with like the Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, all of that sorts of stuff, like there's no definitive way to make a show happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can name about half a dozen network series that started as web series. So yeah, things have changed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And especially like, and a lot of them are female created starring women.
Yeah.
And character, like female protagonists that a network might not ever take a chance on.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they might be like, well, that won't sell, except when you have a proven audience online.
That's right.
You know, the audience is going to come with your show.
Yeah. Great. Well, thank you so much. I'm really glad we connected. I'm really excited about this. So
I am as well. And I'm excited. Make sure that you come say hi.
Okay.
At the event.
I will.
You know, come one, come all.
You bet.
I keep telling people to, find a date online and bring their online date.
Yeah. Perfect.
Have their first, Tinder date.
All right.
At the launch party at the strip club.
What? How much better? How much better could it be?
I know, right?
Cool. All right. Thanks a lot, Brianne.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
And there you go. That's our show. Thanks for spending the lunch hour with us. We haven't done this for a while, but our shout-out this week goes to New World Theater's artistic director, Marcus Yosef, who has been chosen as the recipient of this year's prestigious Siminovich Prize. I hope I said that right. He's chosen playwright, actor, and co-artistic producer and friend of the show, Christine Quintana, as his protege. Both of these people deserve this great honor. So remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send us your details at Dave Radio podcast@hotmail.com and like us on Facebook. And if you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, you can check out the podcast archive at citr.ca. And that's it. We've got a live band setting up in the studio. In case you're wondering what that thumping sound was in the background, it's Guantanamo Baywatch, and they're going to be performing live very, very shortly, like within the next 15 or 20 minutes once they get things going. So stick around for that. And then, of course, at 3:30, it's Nardwar, the human serviette. Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Everybody, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia in Canada. My name is Andy Resto. Thanks to Dave for Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio every Friday at noon to one. This hour.